Good evening, everyone. It's good to meet with you in this new year, 2022. Haven't seen you since last year. Glad to meet with you. Praise God for being with us all of last year, 2021, and for ushering us into this new year by His mercy, His love, and His grace. I'm glad to see you. I've been preparing for class all week long. I've been thinking about you and praying for you all week long. So to each one of you, I wish you a happy new year and a blessed new year in the Lord. We are going to continue in our study of the gospel according to Luke, where we left off on last year, and we're moving right along. It's just like what I said about chapters. Chapter 13, in some way or another, is connected to 14 and 12, connected together. And so this year, 2022, we're moving right along without a break. The only thing that has changed is the year that we are in. But we still remain under the direction and power of the Holy Spirit, trusting Him to be our teacher, trusting Him to be our guide. We have a lot to do this evening, as we normally do. Once again, good evening to everyone. If we have any first timers, visitors in our class, we all welcome you. I am Velma Sanders, the teacher of the Contemporary Bible class at Salem Baptist Church. Reverend Dr. Selwyn Q. Backus is the pastor. I am the teacher of this class under the ministry leader, Sister Marcia Hall. So I want to acknowledge our pastor and as well as our ministry leader, especially on this first day of the year. We come together in the great name of Jesus. That's the name that we gather under. He is the name above all names. So before we go any further, let's start the year in prayer. And in this prayer, I want to dedicate all of our study time to the Lord during this year, 2022. Our study time, but not studying just to be students, for just acquiring mental knowledge, but that we might truly be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is something that He has been teaching us in 2021, is He's looking for disciples. That's what the Lord is after. He's not after members per se of a church. He is after followers of Him. So we want to be good students of the Lord, good students of the Word. We want to be good disciples. Heavenly Father, we come before You in the name of Jesus, and first of all, we offer unto You praise. You are eternally worthy to be praised, and we give glory to You on this first Sunday of a new year, the year 2022, Lord God. And we knew when we departed on last week that there were no guarantees that You would bring us into 2022, but by Your mercy, Your love, and Your grace, You did. And then there are some who were not able to step into this year, but they are safe in the arms of Jesus. They are home with the Lord. And for that, Lord God, we give You praise for their journey. We thank You for those who started out with us in 2021, but You called them home. We remember them, and I'm going to memorialize them at least by name to the best that I can this evening. I would like, Lord, for You to bless our class. And I want to lift up to You, me and the entire class and all the classmates that are here, not only for the Contemporary Bible class, but for all the life development classes of Salem Baptist Church, not only for Sunday school classes at Salem Church, but students of the Word all over the world. We lift up one another in prayer. We ask You now, Lord, Spirit of the living God, be our teacher. Be our guide, be the one that applies the Word to our hearts, make it applicable in our daily lives, Lord God. Just do what You would do what You would have to be done in us by Your Spirit. Father, we praise You for all Your blessings, Lord. And then, Father, we remember the absent part of us, those who would want to be here but cannot be here for whatever the reason, we remember them in prayer. We pray that their eyes are ever upon the Lord. We pray that they will ever lift up their eyes unto the hills from whence cometh their help. and our help. Our help comes from the Lord. Now, Lord, bless this time of study, we pray, and we'll be careful to give your name the praise forever. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Well, I welcome you again on this January the 2nd, first Sunday of Sunday school class in the year 2022. And it's custom, one of my customs as a Sunday school teacher in our class, and I've been doing this for years, is that on the first Sunday of the new year, I like to memorialize, at least by name, those who started out in class with us, and by us, I mean the Contemporary Bible class, that started out in class with us, but the Lord called them home in 2022, in 2021, and they did not enter into this year with us, but we'll catch up with them on the other side in glory. So they are, as it were, already sitting at the banqueting table of the Lord. We're on our way where they are. So we praise God for those who are part of this class, that they were part of this class. And I want to mention by name our dear brother, Brother Larry Chandler, and also our sister, Minister Karen Bowen. And both of those saints were members of the Contemporary Bible class. So we thank God that he allowed us to meet them, to walk on a little road, a little part of the road with them on this Christian journey. And whatever role we were to play in their lives, we pray that it was done. Whatever role they were to play in our lives, we pray that it was done. So we remember them in love, Brother Larry Chandler, as well as Minister Karen Bowen. We look forward to seeing them in glory. And also, I'd like to mention, I normally don't mention this not regularly, but I need to do it more regularly. There are quite a few members of our class, and I should say classmates, fellow classmates, that are on the church's prayer list. And I do want to mention Deacon Wendell Young, and most of you who have been in our class have seen Deacon Young in class on Zoom almost every week. His wife is here with us this evening, and we praise God that Sister Sharon would be here as well, be here with us. And Sister Sharon Young, we extend our prayers to you as a class, to your husband, as he's in the hospital, but he's under the Lord's care. So we will be praying for him. There are others, quite a few others in our class that are on the prayer list. I can't take the time to call everyone by name, but I just want to remind you, pray ye one for another. We should do that and make that, if you're not doing that on a daily basis, make that one of your goals, is to pray for this class, for the members of this class, and all of their needs. And you know, that's sufficient with God. He knows our needs better than we can tell him, better than we know him, better than we know our own needs. So we might think we need something, but God knows what we really need. So we want to keep one another lifted up in prayer. Also, I want to say at the beginning of this year, I encourage each one of you, I have beginning of the years, you know, at the first of the year, most people want to do better, want to try to do better. And I pray that it is your desire to press on. That is something our pastor preached this morning from Philippians chapter 3. And we had read that scripture not too long ago about pressing on towards the mark, where Luke told us to strive to enter in, strive to enter the narrow gate. And so we want to keep on striving. We want to keep on running. We want to keep on praying. We want to make sure there's oil in our vessels. We want to keep on following Jesus. So that's my introduction on today, and I'm glad that you're here. Today, we're going to continue on in Luke, the study of Luke chapter 15. And is Sister Arlene, I see Sister Arlene Johnson with us in class. And Sister Arlene, when I get to that point, I would like to ask you to please be ready to read Luke 15, verses 8 through 10. And I want to thank Sister Patricia for reading for us on the last several weeks. We will be rereading those scriptures over and over again. But this evening, I will ask Sister Arlene to be our reader for that passage, Luke 15, beginning at verse 8 when we get to that point. Well, by way of review, and I'm not going to do a lot of review because I really want us to press forward in our study. I like to give out themes. You all know that. If you've been with me any length of time in study, I give out a theme to what we're studying. Well, I also encourage you to read the scripture, pray, and get your own theme. See how the Spirit of God, what he brings out to you. When we first started studying Luke chapter 15, one theme that I gave was this man, and it comes from Luke chapter 15, verse 2. Theme for the entire chapter. This man, Luke 15, 2 says, and the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. Now I need to read verse 1 as well. So Luke chapter 15, verse 1 and 2 reads, then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. Theme of chapter 15, Jesus Christ the Lord receives sinners. And we say amen to that. Praise the Lord. He is receiving sinners even now. But you have to come on his conditions. There are certain conditions and requirements that God makes upon becoming one of his children, one of his disciples. And we see one of the requirements right here in these opening verses where it says the tax collectors. And in verse 1 and 2, you have a whole conglomeration of people. We have tax collectors. We see sinners. We see Pharisees. And we see scribes. Well, we can say for the sake of our class, let's just say that represents humanity, with the sinners and the tax collectors. But also there's the Pharisees and the scribes. The sinners and the tax collectors, which are in verse 1, we have found out they drew near to him, to hear him. So there's a group, the tax collectors and the sinners. And we're all sinners born into sin. But sinners here, we'll say as anyone, the Pharisees didn't consider one of them. You know, that's a short definition in the context of our scripture. The Pharisees and the scribes, but really the Pharisees and the scribes too, they looked down and called anyone a sinner who was not like them. And so we see in one corner, as it were, on one side of the count is sinners and tax collectors. And there's a dividing line that comes in. And then in verse 2, it says, here's the other side of the spectrum. Verse 2, the Pharisees and the scribes. Well, there's two different sides to the coin. There's two different points here. There's the group that drew near to hear him. Then there's the other group. They complained. And I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. Some of you may have different versions, especially if you're new to our class. But the second group in verse 2, they complained. Well, who do you think is at least beginning to qualify to become a disciple? Who is beginning to qualify to be, for us today, we would say to be born again? Who is beginning to qualify to become a child of God? It is the one who does what? Hears the word of God. That is an imperative, that you hear the word of God. That's what Romans chapter 10 says. And all throughout scripture is hearing the word of God and then faith in the word of God, which results in obedience. Hearing the word of God, faith in the word of God, resulting in obedience, which will follow on with the confession, saying the same thing as God. So the group that is at least in the right camp to become a disciple is the group that draws nigh to hear him. And all of us in class this evening, that's what we're doing. We are drawing nigh, not to hear Velma per se, but to hear the word of the Lord. So theme number one, this man receives sinners. But then we go on in Luke chapter 15, and I have not forgotten we need to read, and we will read. But in Luke chapter 15, another theme that I have, I gave it on last week, and I don't have all these themes when I start out. You know, the Spirit is life. Jesus is living. We serve the living God. And as we go, the Spirit of God leads and guides and opens and reveals. So this next theme that I have, I did not have when I started Luke chapter 15. But as we were going, progressing in study, it came through last week in class where the theme came forth. And I gave those three words, lost, found, rejoicing. And that is a theme of Luke chapter 15, lost, found, rejoicing. This chapter is, as it were, like a song. It's like a melody, we could say. And I don't know the exact words that I want. I'm not a professional musician, not at all. But you think of songs, and certain songs have verses. And then you come back to the refrain. Well, that's how Luke 15 is. And Sister Sharon Young could tell me the word I want. I know there's a verse and refrain. Well, that's how Luke chapter 15 is. Verses, refrain. And that refrain is what you say over and over again. You know, you go through the verse, then you come back to the refrain. Well, Luke chapter 15, if you think of it like a song, the refrain is repeated three times. Lost, found, rejoicing. Well, let's look at these three different times the refrain shows up. Well, there are three parables in this chapter. You all know that by now. We've been studying it. Luke chapter 15 has these three parables that are really one, manifested in three ways. And I'll say a little more about that in a minute. But first, there's the lost sheep. And the lost sheep is in, that parable of the lost sheep is in verses 3 through verse 7. And so we would sing the verse about the lost sheep. And if you were writing a song and putting the melody to the song, you already have the words. But if we're some song right out there, and many have put words to put a melody to the song, you would go with your words about the shepherd going out to look for the sheep. I was that one lost sheep. And then the refrain would come back. First of all, in the parable of the lost sheep, where do we see lost, found, rejoicing? Well, it's in the parable of the lost sheep in verse four. And you probably hear my pages here. In verse four, it says, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness, go after the one which is lost until he finds it. So there's lost, there's found or find. And then the next verse says rejoicing. And then we come to the next parable, which is the parable of the lost coin, found in verses 8 through 10. Let's look for our refrain again. Lost, found, rejoicing. Well, it's in verse 8. This is about a woman. This woman, she lost a coin. And then we see in verse 8 at the end, she's searching for it until she finds it. But verse 9 says she found it. So there it is. She lost it. She found it. And then she comes back around. Verse 9 is right there. Rejoice with me. So that was verse 2 of our song, we could say. And then there is the chorus. That's a musical word too. It might be the verse and the chorus. You all know what I'm trying to say. Then we get to verse 3 of our song. We get to the third verse, which is about the lost son. And when we get more to studying about the lost son, we'll find out there are several parables per se in the with the lost son. But in the lost son, verses 11 all the way to the end of the chapter, if we're looking for lost, found, rejoicing, we are going to see, let's just look at verse 24. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to make merry. So there's the three refrains, lost, found, rejoicing. Verse 24 used the word merry. So that's this chapter here, theme number 2, lost, found, rejoicing. But I want to give another theme tonight. I know I'm talking fast because I'm trying to get to the lost coin. I think everyone's with me. My theme for tonight is, and I've already said it, but I want to say the theme for tonight is seeking sinners. Seeking sinners. Whether it's come in the form of talking about a lost sheep, whether it comes in the form of talking about a lost coin, or whether it's about talking about a lost son, it's all about seeking sinners. Who's seeking sinners? Well, first of all, let's go to Luke chapter 19, verse 10. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. And we have been following, we haven't said it lately, but Luke gives us many mission statements of Jesus. And those mission statements of Jesus lets us know, it's right here in scripture, Jesus gives his mission statements, why he came to earth, why he became a man, and why we celebrate what we just celebrated on last week, the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, what we call Christmas, where we commemorate the birth of our Lord. Well, Luke chapter 19, verse 9, starting at 9, and it says, and Jesus said to him, and he was talking to Zacchaeus, and Jesus said to him, today, and that's still a good word, today salvation has come to this house. Look at that. It says today. Now, what does a sinner need? A sinner needs, and Jesus came for salvation. And you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save. That's salvation. Call his name Jesus. Jesus means Jehovah saves. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save. So when it says in Luke 19, verse 9, and Jesus said to him, today salvation has come. Well, salvation is Jesus. Jesus came. He is that salvation. Today, Jesus has come to this house. And that's when Jesus said, I must go to your house, Zacchaeus, come down out of that tree. Salvation coming to your house. Luke chapter 19, verse 9. And Jesus said to him, today, salvation, Jesus, has come. And we praise God for that. Salvation has come to this house because he also is a son of Abraham. Here comes the mission statement in verse 10. For, which I told you on last week, and you heard me say it many times, when you see a for, you can replace it with, why did he come? And we would say, because. For means because. Everyone, make sure you're on mute. Okay, so verse 10 says, for, mission statement, for the Son of Man, which is a name, title, the most common title of Jesus in the Gospels is the Son of Man. Someday I'll do a teaching on that when the Lord leads. But verse 10, for the Son of Man has come. The Son of Man has come. Mission to seek and to save that which was lost. And that's a dot to dot, connecting dots, Luke chapter 15. That dot's going to connect up with Luke 19, verse 10. The Son of Man has come to seek. Isn't that what was going on in Luke chapter 15? One was seeking for a lost sheep. Another one was seeking for a lost coin. The other person seeking for the lost son. And so Jesus, see, that's the work of Christ. Primary work of Christ. And when I say primary, I pause there because there's other very important, you know, and can't divide the Lord per se. But humanly speaking, the best I can do right now, that's one of the primary reasons. And Jesus says, you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save. And the Son of Man has come to seek, to save that which was lost. Go back to Luke chapter 15. So when the Pharisees are saying, and you all who have been with me a while, we'll be in this passage until we're done. So who knows how many weeks that will be. But we are still moving on, I pray, by the Spirit of the Lord. So Luke chapter 15, verse 2, when they said he received sinners, we would say, yeah, that's why he came. Yeah, that's why he came, to receive sinners. Now, Jesus came to seek and save which is lost. Now, I'm still introducing the lost coin here. I'm going to move on in a minute. Jesus came to seek and save sinners. But I want to ask you the question now. How is he seeking and saving sinners today? Who is the one that goes out? We know it's primarily the work of God. Salvation is of the Lord. God is the only one who has power to save. Jesus is the Savior. There is none other. He is the way, the truth, the life, the Savior. But who is he using today in his stead? Who is the ones that should be and are, because we're disciples of Christ, following him, imitators of Christ, being like Christ, following after Christ, learning of Christ, being instructed by Christ? If he went after the lost sheep, what are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be going after the lost sheep. That is Jesus left here. One of his last words before he left this earth, he told us to go. He told us to teach. He told us to preach. He told us to preach. He's told us to go. And what are we to do? Make disciples. That's what he said. I don't know if it's in Matthew 28. I believe it is. Make disciples. And so we are following now in the footsteps of Jesus. It's the shepherd in the parable in verses 3 through 7. It's the shepherd who went out seeking. Well, who among the class, who in here wants to unmute themselves and say, you have some sheep at home and you have some lambs at home and you are that shepherd? I don't think we have one person in class that has not one sheep at home, much less a bunch of sheep. But we are that shepherd. God is using us today to seek sinners. Well, how do we do that? We do it by the proclamation of the gospel that Jesus came to save. We do it by sharing the word of God with others. We're seeking the lost. And we today are that shepherd. under Christ, of course, under Christ, but he's using us today. Go look for that lost sheep. We go look for that lost sheep. We are the ones that are looking for that lost coin. Jesus looking for that lost coin through us. So I want, the reason I'm saying this, one reason, is I don't want to keep every, we don't want to keep it in the abstract. This is the living word of God to be applied to us, made applicable to our lives today. We are to be seeking that lost sheep. We are to be, how do you do that? How do you look for that lost coin, that lost son? Well, it begins with having a desire. You know, everybody in here, that these three verses here, the shepherd, the shepherd, the woman, and the father, has something that was lost, but they desired it. That's first. You desire that the lost be saved. And so one of my prayers, and it's not a new prayer for me, it's a continual prayer, and I pray I've become more, even more fervent with it, is that I have a heart for lost people, have a heart for lost humanity. And then sometimes God will place on our hearts, your heart or mine. If anybody should be praying for lost loved ones in our families, it should be us. I'm praying for some lost ones in my family when I have the opportunity, not only to pray, but say some scripture in one way or another. Not having to proclaim a whole teaching Bible study, and sometimes you may, but say a word, even if it's, you know, God loves you. Do you know the Lord? You can start out with that. If you were to die tonight, are you sure you would be saved? Do you know Jesus loves you? And we can begin there. But what's our objective? Not to condemn, but to save. We're looking for those lost sheep. So I'm going to stop there. That's all introduction, 7:02. So that's the first half of our class. Let's go on now into, I have more I could say, and I think I will say it because God gave it to me. Let's go to Genesis 41. Genesis chapter 41. Sister Arlene, I haven't forgotten. Genesis. Let's go to Genesis chapter 41. And the reason I'm going to this chapter, and I encourage you to read this passage, Genesis 41, in its entirety when you get a chance. Now, the reason I'm going to Genesis 41, and I'm just going to tell the story in a synopsis because we don't have time to go all through it. But Pharaoh, King Pharaoh, one of those pharaohs, had a dream, and he needed someone to interpret the dream. Matter of fact, actually, he had two dreams. And we'll see that. You see that in Genesis chapter 41. Let's look at it here. Genesis 41, verse 5. Now, this is going to connect with our study, of course. Genesis 41, verse 1. Genesis 41, verse 1 says, "Then it came to pass at the end of two full years that Pharaoh had a dream." Well, verse 2, he saw seven cows. And then verse 5 says, he slept and dreamed a second time. So the same night, he had two dreams. So he dreamed a dream. Verse 5 said, he dreamed a second dream. Then we go to verse 7. And verse 7 says, Pharaoh awoke. Well, then let's skip over to verse 17. And verse 17, we know Pharaoh is awoke now, awake. And he says in verse 17, Pharaoh said to Joseph, and this is Joseph, the one that had the coat of many colors. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Behold, in my dream." And he begins to tell Pharaoh's telling Joseph about his dream. So verse 18, he talked about them seven cows. And then we go over to verse 22, and he talks about that grain that he saw in verse 22. Now, the reason I'm going to this, because in verse 25 says, Genesis 41, verse 25, then Joseph said to Pharaoh. Now, we all know Joseph had two dreams. In Genesis 41, 25, then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams, plural, two of them, the dreams of Pharaoh are one. The two dreams of Pharaoh are one. And then he goes on with the interpretation. So you can read that chapter when you get a chance. The reason I went to it, and the Lord showed this to me in my study, in my own private study, is the two dreams are one. Well, you all remember in Luke chapter 15, and we can go back to Luke chapter 15. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus, we see the two groups of people, the ones that drew near to hear, the others that complained. But Luke 15:3 says, he spoke this parable to them. We don't see the word parable again. It's one parable in three parts, just like Pharaoh's dream. Pharaoh had two dreams, but it was one. And that's what Joseph said. The two dreams are one. So it is with the three parables. They are one. That's why we keep having the same refrain over and over again. Well, what's the song about? Well, I've given you some themes, but the one refrain over and over again is repentance. Repentance is so key. Now, I got away from Genesis 41 before we read another verse, but one of those verses said, because, and I'm paraphrasing, because of the seriousness is of what's going to happen, the dream was repeated twice. Now use that same point with the word repentance. It is so important. Repentance is necessary. Repentance, if you're going to get into God's kingdom, there must be a turning from sin, away from sin. There must be a coming into realization of who we are as sinners. There must be a realization of we are lost in our sins. We can't make it on our own. We need God, and we turn to him. We turn to him. Turn away from sin. Turn away from Satan. Turn away from self and follow Jesus. So repentance is necessary. It is key. It is so important. And I thought of Reverend Wade there, because he would say, how big is so? Well, so is one of them words. You can say so, and you never end, because O is open. So is so important that it ends on that open vowel, O. So repentance is imperative. It is necessary. So much so that it is repeated three times. The dream is one. The parable is one. Repent, repent, repent. So let's look at that, the word repent. I want to show you that. That would be part of our verses, our repetition here, is that word repent. Verse 7. Verse 7, Luke 15, I'm back in Luke now, 15, Jesus is giving us what the parable is all about. And he says in Luke 15, 7, I say to you, likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons. Then we go to verse 10, says the same thing per se. And it says, likewise, I say, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And so that word repented is repeated. And then we go to verse 17. Verse 17, that word repent per se is not used, but repentance is there. Verse 17, this man came to himself, the prodigal. He came to himself and he said what he said. Verse 18, I will arise and go to my father and say, Father, I have sinned. Verse 20, he arose, came to his father. 21, Father, I have sinned. That's that acknowledgement of sin. That's returning from that prodigal land that he was in, that pig pen he was in, returning, as it were, to God. So repentance is key. Now, because it is so key, let's go to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17 says, I said on last week, we have to get foundational things down good. And repentance is one of those words, and it's so important, but it's a word we don't hear often. But that doesn't mean God's word has changed. God's word is still the same. And I encourage all of you. Did I give a scripture? Did I say Acts 17? Well, Acts 17. Acts chapter 17, and I'm trying to get there. Acts chapter 17, verse 30. Acts chapter 17, verse 30. Arlene, don't give up on me. You're still going to read the scripture. Acts chapter 17, verse 30. And it reads, truly these times of ignorance. Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked. But now see, there's some time frames there. There's a past tense where it says these times of ignorance. That's past. But then it goes on, but now, and now is now. But now commands all men everywhere to repent. Now that cannot be erased from God's word. And that's why I say it's so important that it was repeated three times in Luke chapter 15, repentance. Well, why is it so important? It's so important that you repent, that you acknowledge and know you can't make it on our own. Turn from our ways and turn to God with hands raised up in surrender. I surrender to God. But now, Acts 17:30. Now, and now still holds, and it didn't go out of style when the calendar changed to 2022. It's still, but now, God commands all men, that's one of them big words, all men, and if that wasn't enough, all men everywhere to repent. Let's go on over to another scripture in 2 Peter. Just go on over to 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. And I encourage you all, you've heard me say this before, if you're not keeping some kind of notebook, and this doesn't have to be, you know, trying to keep every note from this class, but some type of notation or writing you should have. You know, the Lord said over and over again, write. And I encourage you, if you don't have a Luke notebook or study notebook in some way, to start one. Okay, 2 Peter. I believe that's what I said. 2 Peter chapter 3. And I'm trying to get there. Hebrews. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, I'm in chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness. You have to go up to read the context, but because of time, I'm going to go on. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering. I need to go up some so we can get the context more. For chapter 3 of 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter is writing, and Peter says, verse 1, beloved, and that's precious right there, I now write to you this second epistle. So that's why we have 2 Peter, second epistle. I now write to you this second epistle, verse 2, that, and we read this last, no, we didn't, but there's that word reminder. I see that word reminder in verse 2, that you may be mindful, and verse 1 said reminder. Maybe we were in this passage, but I don't think so. But that's the word mindful and reminder. Verse 2, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. Then he goes on to say, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days. Well, you all, if this is a sign of the last days, we see it every day. Now, you don't normally hear the word scoffer, but you can, scoffing is all over. Scoffing, scorning, mocking, laughing at, making fun of. And I'm getting off my subject here, so let me get back to verse 3. But scoffing is a sign of the last days. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days. Then he goes on, verse 4, and they'll be saying, where is the promise of his coming? In other words, I've been hearing them talking about Jesus is going to come again. Sister Sanders been talking about Jesus going to come again ever since I've known Sister Sanders. Well, not quite, but a long time. And they've been saying, and the scoffer says, the scorner, where is the promise of his coming? Jesus has been gone over 2,000 years, and you all still talking about he's coming back again. Well, verse 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. In other words, if God said it, he will do it. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but God is long suffering. He is long suffering toward us, not willing. God is not willing that any should perish. Where have we heard that word perish? John 3:16. For God so loved the world, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Why come Jesus hasn't returned yet? Well, one reason is, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but God is long-suffering toward us, humanity. God is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but he is willing that all should come to repentance. So that's the importance of repentance in our last 10 minutes here. Let's go back to Luke 15. Now, I have tried, by the help of the Lord, I pray, to lay a foundation here, to still laying a foundation, still teaching. We're still in Luke 15. We're still very much in Luke chapter 15. But I spent time with it like the way I did this evening because of the importance of it. You know, like the dream was repeated twice. And like last week, we went to a scripture in 2 Peter where Peter said, I'm going to remind you. I'm going to say it again. I'm going to say it again. I'm going to say it again. And Luke 15, let's sing that verse again. Lost, found, rejoicing. Da 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 da. Let's sing that verse again. So that's what Sister Sanders has done on this evening. So it looks like the lost coin, we're going to read the lost coin this evening, the parable. And we'll be studying still that lost coin on next week, Lord willing. So let's go to Luke chapter 15. And Sister Arlene, who I believe is still with us in class, if you don't mind, would you please read for us Luke 15, verses 8 through 10?
Of what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents.
Amen. Now let's do a little by little. We have time to do little by little. You all who have been with me know what that's all about. So we just, Arlene just put the food on the plate. God gave the bread, the food, and the food is on the plate by Arlene reading it, by us having our Bibles in our hand. But as I say, you don't pick up your plate and just gulp it all down. It's bit by bit, bite by bite, little by little, verse by verse, word by word. So let's look at this little by little. Verse 8 from the New King James, I'm teaching from. Or, and that's the Bible giving its own outline there. It's like, I'm going to turn the corner here. I gave you the first verse. Now I'm going to give you the second verse. So it says in verse 8, or what woman? Well, now we have a woman who has come on the scene. And Luke, more than any other of the gospel writers, emphasizes women. Luke has much more to say about women. I mean, that's one of the main things. Now, I shouldn't say main, but Luke brings out women more than any other of the gospels. So here we have a woman that Jesus, now he could have said, the Lord could have said, what man having 10 silver coins if he loses one? Because we know men lose money just like women lose coins, lose money, or the coins, money, we'll say. We can relate to that word money. So what woman? And it says what woman. In other words, it's anonymous. It could be any woman. Like it was, could be any sheep. It could be any woman. So what woman having 10 coins? She had them. She had those 10 silver coins. Now, I need you to remember, it's a parable. So with a parable, you can't analyze every single word. We're looking for the general teaching, the main basic teaching that the Lord is giving. Verse 8, what woman? Now, you know that's starting out. That's a question there he's getting ready to ask. What woman having 10 silver coins? She had them. She had those silver coins. And if she does what? Loses one coin. Now think about that. She lost one coin. Now you need to think on your own about one coin. And someone may say, well, she still had nine. And I would say, if your water bill comes tomorrow and it's due, and your water bill is due tomorrow, gas and water, and if the bill is $100 and you write a check or go to Mr. MUD and show up with $99.99, do you think MUD gonna let you side by with that penny? I don't think so. It ain't no gas. You know, you go to the gas station, there might be a penny cup at the cash register, but that this coin is valuable. This coin is needed. I'm getting more into the teaching of it now, where I want to do the bit by bit. So you all think about losing one coin. And if you show up one penny short of that mortgage, they'll slap a great big, big, big penalty on you. You know, so that's how valuable one can be. And so the one lost sheep, this one coin is precious. It is valuable. It is needed. It's needed so much so. When she lost that one coin, and I want you to think about, compare the lost coin to the lost sheep. And you all have heard me say, you have to get into the scripture, pray, and get into it, talking it out, acting it out, walking it out, meditating on it. And the Lord began to open up things. Well, the coin, unlike the sheep, the sheep did what? Well, the sheep did what sheep do. It wandered away, because that's the sheep's nature. Sheep just wander away. Well, the coin didn't just wander away. You know, that coin didn't say, I think I'll go into the woods. No, that coin got lost. And that lets you know, there was some human responsibility, something human, a human factor in there, where that coin got lost. And people get lost for various reasons. It could be upbringing in life. Coin gets dropped. Coin gets lost and rolls beneath the cushions in the sofa. So think on that, how the difference between a coin getting lost and the sheep getting lost. Both are lost. But the point I'm trying to make, first of all, we're all lost in Adam. But there's three different parables here. There's three different ways, many different ways that lostness shows up in life. 7:26. Or what woman? Which woman? She had 10 silver coins. She lost one coin. And this woman, because of the value of the coin, because of the value of it, what is that coin? Well, that coin, we could say, because of our theme, the coin is the soul of a person. The coin is a sinner that needs to be saved. That's what this is all about. Sinners coming to repentance. That's that lost coin. If she loses one coin, does not, now the search begins. And this search goes on, there's three parts to this. She does what? She lights a lamp. Now, some of us can relate to this because it wasn't too long ago. I told you all I wear contact and I flipped that contact out like I've done many times for many years. And it flipped out all right. It went. And I was like, this woman lit a lamp. Well, I had to be careful trying to do that because you don't want to move anything. But I just want you to get into the story as you ponder and meditate and pray this week. So the woman did what? She lit a lamp. She swept the house. And she searched carefully. There's three different aspects. And all of it, we could say, is a type of the Holy Spirit at work in a person. God has to turn the light on. It is the Lord that turns the light on that we might be saved. Jesus came as a light to the world. He is the light. And so this light being lit, Jesus is the light, but the Holy Spirit is the one, that candle of the Lord. And so when we're praying for sinners and seeking sinners, and when we speak a word to someone, that's like we're doing what? Lighting a lamp. We're doing what? When you give a scripture to someone, lighting a lamp, sweeping the house. And when you sweep the house, you'll be stirring up stuff. I mean, dust be flying. It's good we can't see all that dust when you sweeping and all that. We be trying to clean, but dust still be going up. And so it's stirring up. And that's what the Spirit of God does. He stirs up things. And this lady did what? She searched carefully until time frame, until she finds it. And so our time is up for today. It is 7:29. We'll be in this parable, Lord willing, on next week. I encourage you to get into it however God leads you. Or even if you go forward in reading the word, some way or another, it is connected. Father, we thank you for your word. It is a lamp unto our feet. It is a lamp. Your word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. And as the woman was searching, and as she was sweeping, Lord God, and as she searched, and she swept, and she lit a lamp, I pray, Lord God, that you would use us as lamps. You would use us as lights. You would help us to go search and have the heart for the lost that you have, that we, in your joy, may rejoice as well, and that we may know not only because we heard it, but that we've experienced, and that we might be used by you to seek and to save that which was lost. We praise you for Jesus, and we praise you, Lord God, that you're long-suffering because you're not willing that any should perish. I ask you to bless this class, to your praise and to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless everyone.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Good class. Thank you.
God bless you. Love
Sister
everybody.
Bellman, Sister Bellman, this is Sister Christian. I did invite someone to the class. Is Maxine on here?
Yes. Maxine was here early.
Oh, okay. So she did make it. All right. Thank you.
I don't know if she's still here. iPad 2.
Yeah. Okay. All right. iPad 2.
Maxine,
okay. I just
want
to know she made it.
If you want
God bless
to.
Everyone.
God bless okay. everyone.
God bless you.
God bless
God
everyone.
Bless you. Happy New Year, everybody.
Hugh Williams came back. God bless you, Mrs. Q Williams. We're glad you're with us. I don't see you, but I saw your chat.
Yes.
God bless everyone.
And we do have
New Year.
Happy New Year's, right.
Happy New Year. Miss Sadie and Ruby are with us as well tonight.
Oh, okay. Good evening, Sister Sadie and Sister Ruby. Did Brother Tom Wilson make it?
I don't think so. Not tonight.
Okay. That's fine. He's part of the class.
Right.
Good evening. Okay,
and
everybody.
God bless all of you, and thank you for
Merry
your prayers. Right.
Yeah, we'll continue in prayer. Continuing in prayer.
Yeah.
Sister Arlene will be in your verses next week. So be ready again.
God okay, bless have, you. A, have a blessed week, everybody.
You all too.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank
you. You too.
Thank you. God bless everyone. Bye-bye.
God
bye-bye.
Bless
you.
Bye.
Bye.
That's what the kids say. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye-bye. Sleep well.
Sleep well. Sweet dreams.
Sweet dreams, too. Like Joseph.
Yeah.
Well, Joseph interpreted the dreams.
Yeah.
Though.
Okay, everyone. I'll see you, Lord willing, next week.
All right, then.
Okay. Happy New Year's.
Happy New Year.
Thank you.